Thank you, Lord. Ooh, He's good to us. He's good to us. You know why? Because He loves us. People say, well, we did this and we did that. Nope. He's good to you because He loves you. He was good to you before you loved Him back. Amen? When did He save you? When you were yet His enemy. God saved us. Amen? You know, sometimes in our circles, word of faith, as you want to call it, we get excited about faith. And we should get excited about faith. Faith is important. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But what that faith is in, who that faith is in, is why we overcome the world. Amen? Are y'all cold?
No.
You sure? Because I am. I like no feeling less than cold. I'd rather sweat all day long than be cold. Glory to God. Better yet, I don't like y'all to be cold. It's a little chilly in here. Thank you, Lord. I won't be chilly long. Don't worry about it. Thank you, Lord. But it is faith that's important. And you can open your Bibles to Lamentations 3. And it is important. But remembering who to give thanks to, who your faith was in. You know, if you go to the passage that we all love so much, Mark 11, before it ever starts, Jesus says, have faith in God. He doesn't just say have faith. He says have faith in God. Because God is who you're going to give the glory to, not your faith. When something like this happens in that storm, God was with us in the midst of that storm. He was helping us. The storm didn't go away. The storm didn't go away. He delivered out of the storm. When Daniel was in the lion den, what happened? The lion didn't go away. God delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. Amen. When David went up against Goliath, he didn't proclaim David's great. He didn't say, I am so good with this slingshot, you better watch out. No, he said, I'm coming at you with something much greater than what you see right here. I come at you in the name of the Lord God, the God of the armies. Right? He didn't, you know, and so we don't want to get to where we're thankful for our faith. We want to get where we're thankful for the God that gave us that faith. You know, I'm reminded, Brother Moore tells a story, and I don't know the whole story, and I would tell it wrong, but he talks about somebody asking him how he got something one time, and he said, I believed for it. And God stopped him. And he started going through, it was my word that gave you the faith. It was my faith, right? And I don't know the whole story. But in other words, what was your part? Your part was to trust me. Amen. Our part is to trust God and be thankful. And be thankful. I was, well, let's read this scripture first. Thank you, Lord. Lamentations 3, verse 22. Thank you, Lord. Are you thankful to be in church this morning? Man, it's the place people ought to be. You know where you can't love people from? Home. You can only love your own house. Right? Which is a good place to start because people have problems there, right? But when you're at church, you can love other people. You can learn to love other people. You can go out of here and you can love somebody who doesn't want to be loved, right? You know, Brother Moore always says you haven't submitted until you don't agree. And God told me the other day, and we won't go into this because it's a whole nother sermon. He said, you haven't loved until you love your enemy. That's what he told me. He said, when you take love outside of you and begin to love people who don't want to be loved, who begin to love people who reject love indeed, and who you don't feel like loving, right? How many feel like loving people that are mean to them? You know, I see people just being mean to somebody else, and it makes me not love them. So I'm like, Lord, you got to help me, right? You know, when the disciples said increase our faith, it was right after Jesus said, you got to forgive. You got to forgive seven times. If they come back and they repent, you got to forgive. And they looked at him and said, increase our faith. Why? Why? Because he was saying, you got to love beyond your measure. You got to love beyond who you are. You got to get out there and love. Oh, I'm going to go into a whole nother sermon. We got to get out of that. We got to love. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't even know how I got into that. Go back to Lamentations. I do know how I got into it. Love is the key. Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You notice that that doesn't say it's of our great faith. But it is of our great faith. It's of our great faith in His mercies. But what we have to realize is who we are. We are children of God. And we are under His mercy. We are under His grace. And we can walk in a place where we're not consumed. Where we're not destroyed. And we're not perishing. We're actually succeeding and prospering in the things we do. But it's because of the Lord's mercies. At the end of your faith, stop and say, Lord, You've been good to me. Your mercy is great. Your mercy is beyond what I could ever think. I know that my faith in that mercy. You got to have faith in that mercy, because guess what? Ain't none of us making it on here. You know, when He said all have sinned, all have. Right? Yeah. Right? But we're freely forgiven, right? Freely by His grace. So we don't have to be condemned by sin, because condemnation will keep you from receiving mercy. Condemnation will keep you from going. I'd got involved in something the other day, and God said, that's unthankful. He told me what I was doing, because I didn't do it for Him. I was just doing it because I wanted to do it. And He said, that's unthankful. He said, and when you become unthankful, you forget about Me. When you forget about Me, you become unthankful. Why? Because if you're thankful for mercy, you're thankful all day long. Right? You don't take a mercy break. Right? You don't want a mercy break. When we take mercy breaks, we're thinking we'll do it on our own. We'll do it the way we want to do it. We'll get there on our own. And when we take a mercy break, you know, what we become is unthankful. What we got to be is thankful for that mercy and walk. And when we see something that we think's okay, when you say, Lord, You're my guide. Your mercy is what I'm relying on. I don't want to go anywhere that Your faith doesn't take me, that the faith You've given me doesn't take me. I don't want to be in that place, because I don't want to become unthankful about anything. Right. Amen? And when we rely on this mercy, when we rely on the compassion and the love of God, that's why Jesus said, have faith in God. He said, have faith in love. Have faith in deliverance. Have faith in healing. Have faith in goodness. Have faith in mercy. Have faith in all that the I Am is. Have faith in that. Don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in the God of your faith. Amen? Because He's the one that delivers you. And when you have faith in Him, you're thankful. Amen? Go back to those verses. It's of His mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. You know when He's going to quit loving you? Never. The fact is, He's going to show you how much He loves you. And then when you get to there, He's going to show you how much He loves you. And right when you get to that point, He's going to show you how much He loves you. And then when you get to there, He's going to love you some more. Because what? His love is infinite. It is infinite. It is eternal and it's everlasting. And He's called us to do those same things. He's called us to do things that make a difference. Things that make a difference last forever. Amen? Forever. That's why the first thing He wanted you to do is love. Because it's the greatest act. And it is the everlasting love that saved you. Saved me. Amen? Because His compassions fail not, verse 23. They are new every morning. His mercies and His compassions are new every morning. Amen? Yes. Every day that we walk out of our door, we can be thankful. You know, I was doing prayer last Wednesday night. And before prayer, I was just getting quiet and praying. And he says, how come you wait for the answer before you get thankful? And it wasn't even a faith thing at that moment. He said, you have reason to be thankful every moment of your life. He said, if the doctor gives you a bad report, well, you can either receive the bad report or you can immediately say, oh, thank God, I'm a child of God. I don't have to have that. If you're running a little short on your bills, you go, oh, I'm a little short. Oh, wait, thank God. He causes me to prosper. He meets all my needs. Doesn't matter what's going on. You can be thankful. When he said in, what is it, Psalm 46 that we talked about last time I spoke, if you wake up tomorrow morning and you turn on the news and they say, bad day. Mountains crumbling into the sea. Waters are roaring. There's a tumult. Right? There's big things going on. You can stop and say, oh wait. He told me he's my refuge and my strength. Before those verses happened, God said, I'm your refuge. I'm your strength, your very present help. When? In time of trouble. When can I be thankful? Right in the middle of the storm, before I ever see what I'm looking for, what I prayed for, what I desire, before I ever see it. My God's my refuge. That's who's taking care of me. And if the devil gets a little something in over you, say, whoa, he takes care of me. He'll restore me. In fact, is now you owe me seven times. Not only is he going to restore me, I want all seven. I want all seven. Right? If a shingle came off your house, he owes you a roof. Right? We can be thankful through the whole thing. If think about this. If the worst of the worst happened in human eyes, which it's not, right, and you didn't make it, and you left this earth, you went to heaven. You can be thankful. Why? Every day that you're a Christian, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the devil has nothing on you, in you, over you, nothing. So not only can you walk right through the fire and not be burned, so you can go right through the flood and it won't overtake you, you can get from where you're going to where God wants you with no issues, right in the middle of the issues. You know, we get too issue-minded. And it's, boy, Lord, if that issue was just that way, I could be thankful. I just want, and you know, people even pray, Lord, I thank you that that issue's gone. Thank him that he's with you in the middle of the issue. Because if he's with you, the issue's gonna go. Yes. Amen? Because he's the God that saves you. He's the God that sets you free. He's the God that said, I'll be with him in trouble. Amen? And those are the things that we can be thankful about. We don't have to wait and be thankful. Amen? We don't have to look and we don't, when we are thankful, we don't have to get to that place where we say, man, I'm sure glad I had that. I'm thankful for my faith. I'm thankful that I have faith, but I'm thankful for the God I have faith in. Amen. I'm thankful that when I need healing in my body, I have a healer. Amen. I'm thankful I have a provider. I'm thankful I have a protector. I'm thankful right now, today, for all those things. Not 2 weeks ago before the storm, today. Amen. And doesn't matter, when you're thankful before the storm, doesn't matter what happens through the storm, because you were thankful before. And through the storm, you will find, my door got busted open. God will get me a new one. Right? My trees got broke down. God will get me more. Right. Why? Because you're thankful. When we become unthankful, we look at the problem. When we're thankful, we look to our solution. Not a solution, our solution. Our solution is the God who loved us. Amen? And then when we get all the way through, we thank him. You know, when you look at Moses, just look at the Red Sea incident. He listened to God the whole time. He led them exactly where God told him. He didn't know the Red Sea was going to split when he led them right there. He had no idea. Right? I mean, God didn't lay out a plan and say, okay, here's what's going to happen. I want you to take the people, I want you to lead them right to the Red Sea where they have no way out. They're boxed in. I want you to box them in. But don't worry about it, because I'm going to split the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's guys are going to chase you. And he did tell him that he was going to harden, you know. When Pharaoh, but then I'm going to, when I open the Red Sea, I'm going to close it back up. And they're all going to, he didn't tell him any of that. Before, when he said, stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord, he didn't have any of that plan. What was he being? Thankful? Yeah. What was he saying? God put us here. I thank him that he'll get me through. Yeah. If I follow God, I'm going to get to the place where I succeed. My life is a prosperity waiting to happen. Yeah. Amen? And when they got to the Red Sea, then God started talking to him. And he said, okay. He said, now you're here. Here they come. And then he told him what to do. And then Moses didn't say, after it was all over, Moses didn't say, I guess you saw how my faith got us through there. Yeah. Right? I guess you watched how my great faith, how God leaned on me. God was leaning on me to get you all through. It ain't never you. It ain't never about you. It's not about me, right? It's about God. Yes. And when the whole thing comes to an end, you were thankful before, during, and after. What? Because you were thankful always. You were always thankful. And when we're always thankful, then we're never out of faith. If you're always thankful, you're never out of faith. Glory to God, because thankful people are always believing something get better. It doesn't matter what happens. God's going to turn that to my good. Right? God took what the devil meant to destroy me, and not only did he take me to the other side, he destroyed the enemy behind me. Right? God's not going to leave us out. But we got to be thankful, because unthankful people are not in faith. They're not in faith. They're waiting to see before they thank God. And you don't want to wait to see. You want to pray in thankfulness. You don't want to say, thank God, Lord, I thank you that you're taking that storm. No. You want to say, Lord, I thank you that no matter what, you're protecting me. Yes. You're my God. Your mercies are why I'm here today. Your mercies are why I'll be here tomorrow. Your compassion has never failed me. I'm going to turn to you at every time. I'm going to be thankful that I serve the God that never fails. And he's never going to fail me. Amen? Yes. Glory to God. This is good. I didn't even know how we were going to do this. Thank you, Lord. And we got to renew our minds to that, because when he showed me that, even in before prayer the other day, it's like you're right, Lord. I got no reason. I should always be able to find something to be thankful for. There's never a day that goes by where I should say, there's just nothing going on for me today. So that's what the devil wants. He wants you all sad. He wants you all broke down. Why'd this happen to me? Why? Why, Lord, why? You know, your question's your answer. Your question's your answer. You know, one of the reasons I had him sing that song is because David said, who am I? His question wasn't, why me? His question was, who am I, Lord? Who's my family? That you would be so good to me. Who am I? And that's what we every day we should wake up and say, Lord, who am I? I know what's in store for me today. I know what's in store for me tomorrow. I know what's in store for me because you're so good to me. You're so kind to me. Your wonderfulness, it follows me and it encompasses me. And in doing that, if I'll always acknowledge it, how do you acknowledge it? Thankfulness. How do you acknowledge God's goodness? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. That's why he said, be ye thankful. He didn't say, do all this and then thank me. He said, be ye thankful. Right? That's what he was saying. What's he saying? He said, I want you to be thankful as long as my love lasts. So really, that's all you got to do. Just be thankful every time he loves you. There you go. Right? There you go. That's every second of every day throughout the eternity. That's how long his love lasts. And that's how long we can be thankful, because every one of those days, he loves you. And people say, I don't know if he loves me. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what I've done. You just don't know what I've done. He couldn't possibly love me. He loves you. He loved you when you were doing it before you were a Christian. You think he's going to love you after? You know, you heard that testimony. How long did that mom love that girl? Forever. Forever. And God's love's so much greater. And that's the love she was loving her with. Amen? God's so good. So good to us. But we can't get into condemnation. We can't get into competition. Right? There is a competition. Well, he saved us. The Lord spared us. I don't know about you, but the Lord spared us. Right? You need to find a better way to go. Say, I thank the Lord that he spared me. And you're still here. Amen? If they're talking to you, they're still here. What can you do? Give them a reason to be thankful. That the devil's trying to get them to be unthankful. Instead of you boasting about how the Lord took care of you because of your great faith, right? Right? You can stop like Moses did. Where is that? That's with Moses. Exodus 15. 14 is when it all happened. But look at what Moses did right after they got out of the Red Sea. He didn't do what the rest of the children of Israel did. They wanted to know when they were going to get a sandwich. Right? They said, well, sure, he can get us through the Red Sea. What are we going to drink? What are we going to eat? He just split the Red Sea. You know, I feel like he does these things for us on a regular basis, and we look at it and we say, yeah, but I still need a car. He just spared your life, right? The thing is, and if he just spared your life, if you were standing in the middle of a house and it had fallen down all around you, you're standing in the middle of a house that had fallen down all around. You're standing. Glory to God. You can be thankful. God is, he spared your life. And guess what? He'll give you a better house. A seven-time house. Glory to God. We got reason. And when you come through the Red Sea, you do just what Moses. Then Moses sang. I don't know. It doesn't say Moses was an accomplished singer. But what did he do? Put that up, verse 1. He sang. He sang, and the children of Israel sang too. And he spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed. Who triumphed? He has triumphed. He didn't say, I will sing unto the Lord because he made me triumph. He said, he has triumphed. He has triumphed, for he's triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, what's he saying? My enemies are gone? Yep. Yes. Right? Uh-huh. But you know, by the way, this lasts for a whole chapter.
Yes, it does.
Right? At least. And he never stops talking about God.
That's right.
He never mentions Moses.
Hallelujah.
Except for as the one who was spared. The one who was gloriously saved. He doesn't talk about, and if you look at David in his Psalms, David says, there's none like you. He's like, I don't know who I would even think I am. There's nothing that compares to you.
That's right.
There's nothing like you. There's none before you. There's none beside you. You are it. Amen.
Amen?
Yeah. And what's he saying? He's saying, I deserve nothing that you've given me, but because of your great mercy, because of your great love. Go to Psalm 103 while we're still. So I get to talking, and if I don't get a verse in there, I just throw them out of my mouth and they never come out in there. And they come in a Dave paraphrase. Glory to God. It's his mercy and compassion that makes us thankful. When we read that verse, we should be thankful that tomorrow morning, right? Tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you can be thankful. Why? You stepped on mercy. You walked out into mercy. God gave you mercy. If you're here, if you had the worst week of your life and you're here for another week, things are going to change. Why? Because you're going to start trusting God. You're going to start believing God. You're going to start being thankful for being here first. First thing, you thankful for that breath. Right? Thankful for that breath. Thankful that I got another day to come closer to you, to know you more, to walk in your ways, to experience your love, and to give the very love I experience. Amen? Because when we become selfish in our thinking, that, you know, the mole grubs are the most selfish thing you can do. Right? You never hear the word someone about someone else in your mole grub. Right? Everybody knows what the mole grubs are, right? I don't think my life could change. It's kind of the Eeyore syndrome. I know they say it's a good day, but I don't see how. Maybe they just don't know where I've been. They don't... Lost my tail again. Right? And when we get into that, we're unthankful already. And do you know what? You can click that switch just that quick. And you say, wait a second. This is a good day. This is the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad. Why? Because I'm thankful. No unthankful person is rejoicing. People say, I'll rejoice till I get thankful. No, you won't. Because you got to be thankful to rejoice. That's why he said, be thankful. Amen? Amen? Thankfulness is a big deal. And we can't get into those places where we make, it is great that we have faith, but someone else maybe didn't experience what you experienced. You got to find a way to get their thankfulness back up. Their thankfulness meter's way down here. And they're feeling like, wait, God, why'd you do that for them and you didn't do that for me? And it's the wrong question. But they are where they are. Anybody in here ever ask God a stupid question? Did he stop listening to you at that point? No. No, you know, God will sit there and listen to you say the stupidest things ever and just smile. He'll sit there and he's waiting on you to say something else. He's waiting on you to get him involved in the conversation. Amen. Thankful people have God involved in the conversation because thankful people do a lot of listening too. Amen. But they get God involved in the conversation. He did you know that he's never not there to listen to you? Ever. God doesn't ever say, you know what, Dave? I'm tired of your voice today. Right? I don't want to hear from you. Can you go over there? Let me talk to somebody else. He's listening to every one of his children talk to him at the same time, giving them the exact same care and attention, not one getting more than the other. And people say, well, why'd they get this? And he gave you the same attention. Yes. Right? Brother Moore's teaching a series right now, Teach Us to Pray. God's given us the same attention. So what might we want to learn more about? What we're talking to him about. Amen. What we're talking to him about. What are we saying? What are we believing? What are we giving him to work with? Right? Because what we're giving him to work with, and that's what he told me about being unthankful in that situation. I'll go back to that. He said, when you do that, you walk out of light and you're in a darkness and you can't hear from me there. And I need you to be thankful because you can hear from me in your place of thankfulness. I need you to realize that my mercy's there. You got to stay with it. Amen. He can spare us from a lot of things, but wouldn't you just rather walk in his mercy? Yes. Walk in that compassion and live in that grace and not get to the place where we look down in somebody that didn't, they still receive the same amount. Right? They're still here. They're still here. There's nothing else that God can't replace. If you're still here, the house is all down around you, but you're standing in the middle of it. Yeah. Time to be thankful. Yeah. Time to be thankful. Just like the person that's standing outside the house and nothing was harmed on the house, you can be just as thankful as them. Why? Houses are built every day, and they make new and better ones all the time. People say, all my memories are in there. No, all your memories are in here. God gave you a storage system that is unrivaled. You want to see a picture of your baby when she was young? It's in there.
It's true.
People say, oh, no, I got to see it. No, you don't. It's in there. I know exactly what my daughter looked like when she was a baby. I know what she looked like at every age. Yes, I have pictures. No, I don't go look at them. Not because I, just because I don't. You guys like, look at your pictures. Dave said, don't look at pictures. No, I didn't. I'm saying God can restore anything that was lost that's in this world. He's an everlasting God. And it doesn't matter. And we've got to be there no matter how thankful we are. We got to get other people. We've got to carry on that thankfulness. Encourage thankfulness. Amen? And because God took the same care for them as He did for you. Amen? It's not, there's no competition in the house of God. You're not the favorite child. Don't tell Mrs. Moore I said that. You're all the favorite child. Right? He has the same love for you that He had for Jesus. Why? Because He's no respecter. And also He is love. That's really all He can do. Right? He's got a leg up. You say, God, you're going to love? Well, that's who I am. You're going to love today? That's who I am. I'm going to love. Guess what? That's who you are now.
Yes.
You are bought and paid for under the name of Jesus, the name of love. You are love's child, and you have the very love of God in you to operate in the exact same capacity He operates.
Yes.
Glory to God. And as we become thankful for who He's made us to be, then we go out and we let other people know about it. Why? Because we love them. Well, we love them. We take the same care for them that God would take for them. Amen? And you have to do that because you won't by nature. Right? I'm busy. Got fried chicken right after Sunday service. I don't got time to talk to them. Right? I don't have time to go through. I remember I was going to Bible study one day. And of course, I'm going to Bible study. You know, it's important. It is important. But I'm driving down the road. I know I've told this story again, but it kind of bears witness where we're at. And I said, and I'm driving down the road, and it's just a two-lane road. It's over in Kimberling City. And somebody breaks down right in front of me. And I'm already running late. They break down right in front of me. Run out of gas. Well, no, it's busy. No way to get around them. And I'm sitting in my car thinking, don't they know I got to get to Bible study? I do not have time for them to break down. Couldn't they have gotten gas over here? Couldn't they got gas over there? I got everything except love going right now. And I'm going to Bible study. What am I going to teach them? I got nothing at that point. Right? And so I whip out and whip around them because I'm in a hurry. I got to get to Bible study. I got to teach. You know, I'm going to teach. I'm teaching Bible study. And I whip around them. I get no more just in front of their car and God says, stop. He said, what are you doing? He said, you don't have time to love somebody? You don't have time to help somebody, encourage somebody, get somebody to their next stop? You don't got time for that? If I made time for that, if I put them in front of you, I mean, how more visual can it get? Right? Help them. I can't see what you're saying, God. Help them. I can't see it. That help them. Right? And you're like... What? I'm not even thankful enough to get the Bible study because I'm not thankful for them being in my way. And I got an agenda.
Yes.
Can't have an agenda. We're following God. What if Jesus would have just walked towards His agenda? He went from 30 years old and he just walked straight and went to the cross. And all those people that stopped Him, that wanted to be healed, that wanted to be delivered... He didn't have it. Even when he tried to get off by himself. He tried to get off by himself. And the people came. And he didn't say, hey, can you get away from me? I just need some me time.
Right.
I just need a me day. Right? No. He stopped, got up, and healed them.
That's right.
Right? We don't have an agenda. We have, right? What if I'd have just been thankful that day? Lord, thank you that I'm going to Bible study. Thank you that you've given me provision and help and your health. And man, I'm so thankful. And then when that person stopped in front of me, oh, Lord, you need me to stop and help them? Instead of, what in the world? There's 16 gas stations back here and you ran out of gas passing all of them. Now, I sound way too accomplished in that, don't I? As the old Dave. I just bring him up for a second. I was doing an impersonation of the old Dave. He, way back there. Glory to God. Where are we at? Huh? Psalm 103. Yeah, Psalm 103, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Whew. You know what? I came back at the end of the story. Sorry, yeah. When I finally got turned around and came back, somebody else got that seed. But I still came around and came back. Right? I was obedient, and I did hear from God, just too late. Right? So while I still was okay, I missed out on a blessing. Amen? Because the blessing for a Christian is loving somebody. It's not about the money. It's about your time, your effort, your care. Because what God does is He cares about you. Amen. His care for us is so magnificent. It is amazing. And if we were just thankful for one thing every day, we say when you wake up, God cares for me. The Creator of the universe. You know, I was thinking about, they were showing that picture of the hurricane on the news, and I was thinking, if God just put His finger near it, it would cover up all the world, let alone that hurricane. That's how big He is. You know, we look at things and we say they're big. They're nothing. They're nothing. He's talking about mountains being carried into the sea and the waters, and He's saying, I'm your ever-present help. Don't worry about that stuff. Don't spend your days watching the news and getting all fearful. There's no thankfulness in fear. There's no thankfulness in fear. When you get afraid, what am I going to do? How are we going to make it? If you stay like that, you'll make it to the end. You'll go past the lady, and you'll have to come back, right? And you'll miss out on getting them gas. Glory to God. Psalm 103. I'm sorry. There we go. Psalm 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, you didn't get everything because you were so great in faith. You didn't get anything. You did not get something because you had so much sin. People say, you just don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. God doesn't deal with you according to that. Be thankful. Every person in here should be thankful that this verse exists. Every person in. Why? Because we don't want to be dealt with according to who we were or what we've done. You don't. And people say, I've been pretty good. You ain't been that good. You need the same forgiveness we needed. You need it every day. That mercy that's new every day, it's not just new for me. Right? It's new for you. Amen. Guess what? You're going to need it every day. Every day you're going to need it. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. What's He saying? He's saying, I got rid of those. Go to the next verse. He said, I took those so far out of the way. He said, because of my great mercy. As high as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy for you and me. Next verse. So this is what I did so that I could show you my mercy. Yeah. I took your sin so far away that it no longer exists.
That's right.
Right? How far is the east from the west? It's still going. Yeah. Your sin's still running away from you. Don't chase it. Don't get in condemnation and let it stop for even 1 second. When you get in condemnation, what's it usually about? Something you have done. Right? Think about what He is doing. Has done and is doing, because what He has done and is doing is much greater than what's running away from you.
Right.
This is every day you can wake up and say, wow, my sin's even further away today than it was yesterday. My sin is so far away that even God can't find it. He's not looking for it. Right? He told you, he said, I'm not going to remember it. What are you doing? If God's not going to remember it, why are we bringing it up to him? Right? Why are we bringing somebody else's up to him? Right? People say, I don't do that. You see something bad happen, wonder what they did. Wonder what they didn't do. You don't know anything about it. Right? What I know they have is God's mercy every day. Right? Every day. They still have God's mercy. Right? You know, Jesus said in Luke 13, you know, they were talking about the people that had been killed by Pilate. I'll tell you what, just go to Luke 13:1. It's the very first. He said there were some present that season, some that told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. In other words, Pilate was mean. Right?
Yes.
Verse 2. Jesus answered and said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? And what's he saying? He's saying, do you suppose that this was judgment? Do you suppose that their sin was greater than your sin? Or do you suppose that it's because of sin that this happened? If you really think about it, if we begin to suppose it's because of sin that that happened, then you have to take your sin back. Because if their sin is what caused that, then your sin can still cause it too.
Yes.
Amen? People say, well, you just can't sin. I got to be honest with you guys. You're great. I'm great. But every now and then, I may just not be on the same page as God. Right? I ain't trying to sin. And I'm not planning on sinning, but you need mercy.
Right.
He didn't make it new every day for a reason. He didn't say, well, they probably won't need it, but I'll whip up a batch anyway. He pretty much knew everybody was going to need it every day.
Yeah.
And when we look at this and we say, well, you know, and that's what he's saying in the next verse. He said, I say no. And he said, unless you change your thinking, because what's your thinking? Sin will cause destruction and that you can't do anything about. And he's saying, no, repent. Quit thinking that because there's a new way coming. Repent and turn to the light and see this different. There's a way out of this. It's where sin is not the judge. Right? Mercy is the judge. Glory to God. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, if you keep thinking like this, then you're all doomed because you're going to sin. Right? It was a little sobering. You guys got quiet on me there. Right? Well, what's he saying? He said, don't think like that anymore. When something happens to somebody and you see them down, lift them up. Lift them up. If God did something good for you, don't make it look like it was because of you. Let them know it's because you're human. You're human. The God that did good for me, he'll do good for you. He'll restore everything that was lost. He'll bring you back up from wherever you were. Thankfulness, not only, it's addictive. It gets in you, and then you're so thankful that the person next to you, they'll say, I don't know why I feel so thankful right now, but man, I just know God's good. And their house is back here, and instead of looking at their house, now they're looking over here, and they're looking at you, and they're looking. You're saying, "Oh, you're going to get a great house next time."
Yeah.
Devil owes you, buddy.
Yeah,
yeah, he's going to eat this one. He's going to eat this one. Your house will be so nice that the house manuals will put your picture on it, and it'll be you'll be out there, right? And over all these things, you know Jesus. Yep, no Jesus. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are on your way to heaven, and prosperity's following you everywhere you go. Amen. Goodness and mercy are chasing you down, and you're on your way somewhere. And the next thing you know, that unthankful person, they're thanking God. They're encouraged. That now they're not only are they encouraged, now they can endure. Now they can get through this. They can come to a different place, and they begin to expect from God. And now their faith's back. Why? Because they became thankful. Because when you're unthankful, your faith goes away. Why? I don't got anything to be thankful for. I believe God, and that didn't happen for me. It happened for them. Why do people who just got saved get healed and I haven't been healed yet? Your question answered your question.
Yes, yes, sir.
Because that should never be a question that's asked of God.
Yeah.
Right? Even if I thought something the other day, it was just a really stupid thought. I don't even remember what it was. And I said, Lord, why did I even let that thought come in my head? And he said, because you didn't stop it.
That's right.
He said, that's up to you.
Yeah.
He said, don't. He said, cast down that imagination. Get that out. He said, those things are going to try and come every day. He said, and I'm like, yeah, I guess that's right. He said, no, it is right. So, yeah, you're right, Lord. You're right. Right? I mean, he is. I mean, that's, you don't need to tell God he's right. And I told you guys that the other day. I was driving down the road and he told me something and it was really good. And I said, oh, you're right, Lord. And he goes, yeah, I am. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I don't guess I don't need to tell you. Everything he says is right. Everything he does is right. Everything he is right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 91. We're going to start winding this up because I have no idea how to finish. I haven't even gotten off. I haven't even turned a page on my notes. Thank you, Lord. Aren't we thankful that all you have to have is a group of people and God's name, and you could talk for days?
Yeah.
I'll guarantee. I told somebody the other day, I said, you put six people in the room with me and a Bible, we'll be there a lot of hours. Because you know what? There's just not enough to say about our God.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you what. You start talking about our God, and not just what he's done for you, just what he's done. Everything he's done for us all.
Yeah.
Amen? And you start talking about him, you get excited. I remember when we used to go every other night of the week, and man, we didn't come home ever not excited. Ever. We never left there and said, man, that was a waste of time. How am I going to get those 3 hours back? No, we never did that. Why? Because when you're studying the goodness of God, the mercy and the kindness of God, the love he has for us and the love we can have for others, it's eternal. Where would you stop? You got to go back, right? You got to go back. You got to go back every day and look at the word because you didn't finish. Every Bible study has never been finished, right? They've been quit, but they've never been finished. Glory to God. Psalm 91, verse 14. This is our good God. He says, because he set his love upon me. You know what that word means? To cling to. Because he clings to me. Literally, I mean, you're not going to cling to somebody you don't trust. Right? What's he saying? And because he trusts me. Because he won't let go. Because he won't let go. Therefore, what? I'll deliver him. Right? Again, he doesn't say, I'm really, get off. Quit. Stop it. Didn't I deliver you last week? Come on. How'd you get in more trouble? I gave you the way to be out. God doesn't, why? His mercy is new every morning. He doesn't think that way. He doesn't think like you. You know, two big mistakes. Thinking that God thinks like we do. Right? Making him human. Don't do it. Don't do it. He's bigger than his, what's it say in Isaiah? His thoughts are greater than ours. They're bigger than ours. Right? Everything he does is bigger, greater. You can't even think like him unless you purpose to. If you purpose to, you can. Every day. Amen? And the second one is thinking the devil's as big as he is. When we magnify the problem, we make the devil just as big as God. Two huge mistakes. You shrank God and you made the devil big. Well, he brought God down to thinking like a human, having to manipulate to get something. I got to whine and cry until I get my way. God don't whine and cry. He just is merciful.
Right.
And waits for you to receive it.
Yes.
Says, you know what? I'm just going to leave my love out there. This isn't even a trap. I'm just going to leave it out there. He grabs hold of it. I'll get him.
Yes.
Once he sees my love, he'll be hooked forever.
Yep.
Amen. And that's what he does. He just leaves it out there every day. He says, you know what I'm going to do? He was horrible yesterday. You know what I'm going to do for him? I'm going to love him. I'm going to forgive him. Right? God doesn't look at things the way we look at them. We see somebody say, oh, you ain't getting no candy. No, you've been bad all day. You ain't getting no candy. I was used to do that. Okay, parents, you don't have to do it this way. But when we were potty training Ramsey when she's little, she'd love to hear that I'm telling this story. But you know how people give them candy if they get, you know, you do it right, we give you some candy. God said, stop that. He said, don't make candy. He said, teach them to do the right thing and let them have candy all the time. Not all the time, don't get me wrong, but candy doesn't have to be a bribe to get you to do. God doesn't bribe you to get you to do something. When he says, if you do this, this will happen, it's as simple as that. He's not trying to bribe you. He's just telling you, if you do what he says, good things are going to happen. If you don't, bad things are going to happen. He's not saying I'll cause them. He says, I already caused good things to happen. If you do this, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? He says, I'm good. So if you do what I say, good's going to happen. If you don't do what I say, guess what? The opposite of good is bad. There's only two roads to go down.
Right. Come on.
Amen? And I'm not saying don't give your kids M&Ms if it worked. You know, be led. Be led. But I quit bribing my daughter with saying, if you do this, I'll get you this. Right? I bought her a car before she could drive. Why? Because I was going to buy her a car anyway.
Right?
Why? Because I like to.
Yeah.
Right? Not because she was so good. She was a 16-year-old girl. She was all about her. Just like I was when I was a 16-year-old boy. Right? I'm looking for what can happen good for Dave today. What can Dave make happen that he would like to feel good about? Right? That didn't matter. Why? She's my daughter. She's my daughter. I'm not saying she was bad. She was actually really good compared to what I was. I said, phew. I always told Kim, I'm like, how can we punish her? Look what I did when I was 16. My goodness, she's such a better kid than I ever dreamed of being. Right? And God doesn't bribe us. He puts in place good things, and he says, here, have them. And then it's our choice to get them. Right? And what the devil does, well, you know, you did this yesterday. You can't have that. God didn't say that. The devil said that. He said, you haven't been very good. Healing's not yours today. Healing's yours every day. It was yours when you were yet his enemy. Because that's when he saved you. That's when he healed you. That's when he made you free. It was yours already. Guess what? Be thankful. Because if we got to earn everything to get our M&Ms, we're never having M&Ms again. Plain or peanut. You ain't getting none. I want my M&Ms. You know how I'm going to get them? God's mercy. God's mercy going to get me M&Ms. Not my good works. My good works are born out of my love for him.
Amen.
My good works are not done to get me good things. They're done to get somebody else good things.
Hey, come on.
I don't do good works to impress God. You can't. He created the universe and he saved you with the blood of Jesus. You can't do a good enough work to impress God. He was impressed with you before you were his. He said, I love them so much, I'm sending Jesus. I want them back. I love every one of them, born and unborn. I'm taking them back. And he sent Jesus and got us back. Glory to God. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. What's he saying? He won't let go of me. He's gonna be delivered. What? If you don't let go of God, he ain't going down. Well, if you don't let go of what's not going down, you ain't going down. Right? The only person that ever sank took their life jacket off. Don't take your life jacket off. You can tread water for a little bit, but you're going to run out of breath and energy and everything else. Keep that life jacket on.
Yeah.
Jesus is my life jacket, and I'm going to put it on, and I can float forever.
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to cling to Him. I'm going, why? Because I can't help but be delivered if I'll cling to Him. It says, because he's clinging to me, I'll deliver him. I'll set, what's he clinging to me? Well, I might as well set him up here. He's not letting go. Let's set him up here. Why? He likes it when you cling to him. All right? You know what I didn't like is when my daughter ran away from me. I was always felt good when she was clinging to me. Right? It's when they get old and I say, nap, nyeh, nyeh. I can walk across the street on my own. I'm 2 years old. Right? That's what we're like. Oh, I got it, God. I got it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Cling. He likes it. Be clingy. Clingy. Not needy, clingy.
Right.
If you're clingy, you'll never be needy.
Right?
Right? If you're clingy, you'll never need for anything in your life. My daughter clung to me and she never needed for anything. Ever. I won't go any further. She probably got some things she shouldn't have. That's okay. I got a lot of things I shouldn't have. Look where I'm standing today. Oh my. I got a lot of things that I shouldn't have. Right? If you'd have saw me 25 years ago, you'd have said, Dave's where? Preaching what? Huh? No, not the Dave I know. I had a guy from high school, and one of my friends that I had that did know me, talked to him, said, no, Dave's, he's associate pastor. He's like, what? No. He said, no, you must be thinking of a different Dave. I'm sorry about Dave Vaughn. Yeah, that's him. No. Guy's dead. Thank God he's dead.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I'll set him on high. Why? Because he's known my name. In other words, he's known my name. He's known by my name. He's mine. He's my child. He clings to me. He looks to me for everything. He trusts me. He calls me dad. He calls me. He's known my name. He didn't just know who I was. He knew my name. He said, Father. Yeah, that's him. Come on. Right? Call him Father. I don't care what the devil says. That's your Father.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I can't. I just call him, sir. Call him Father.
Yes.
He likes it.
Yes.
He likes to be called Father.
Yes.
He likes it a lot. Call him Father. Yes. But jump up on his lap and talk to him. He'll talk to you for days and never get tired of you. He'll never put you away. He'll never say stop. Amen?
Amen.
You'll have the best conversations. And man, learn things that you wanted to and didn't want to. You wanted to, you just didn't know you wanted to. Right? When we're known by His name, we know Him. He knows us. When we know His name. And it's not just having a recognition of His name, it's knowing. It's the same knowing as if you know the truth, it will make you free. It's the truth. It's the truth you know. It's the name you know. That's why Moses didn't go and say, thank God I had that staff today. Whew. And thank God I was listening to God and doing everything I needed to do to save you people. Right? Because if he'd have been doing that, he'd have been thanking the wrong person. But he didn't. He said, I'm going to give glory to what? Your name. I'm going to give glory to your name. I'm going to lift up the name of God. I'm going to give praise to the great I am. Right? Because I am everything I needed. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He shall call upon me. Why? Because you know His name. Why are you going to call? People that don't know God, they rarely call on Him. Now, when they get in trouble, right? What was it Brother Jesse said when you're on a plane that's going down, you have a whole bunch of Christians real quick, right? Something like that. That's probably a misinterpretation of what he said. But similar to that, right? It's the easiest place to preach from is where people are in trouble, right? Because you got the answer. Amen? But if you're going to call upon him, you're going to be a person that knows him. You're going to know his name. And because you do, he'll answer you. Think about that. The God, and you know, again, don't make God like you. Now think about God. He's God. You're you. And you call upon him. And he says, hey, Dave, how you doing? Just like that. There's, what is there, 8 billion people in the earth today? Something like that, 7 point something? Is that right?
Yeah.
Every one of them could call him at the same exact time, and he would answer them by name the same exact way and care for them exactly the same as he cares for you.
Amen.
Wow. How could we make God like us? Hey, you can barely talk to 2 people at once. Right? Shh, I need to hear them. God never does that. Be quiet for just a minute. I'm trying to hear Dave. If he did that, his appointment book would never work. We don't have to make an appointment. He loves us. He cares for us. When we call on him, he answers us. He'll be with them in trouble. I don't care where they're at. I'm going to be there with them. And what's he going to do? I'm going to deliver them.
Yes.
Why? Because trouble just can't hang around me.
That's right.
Right? If you balled up a bunch of trouble and just handed it to God, it would no longer be trouble.
That's right.
Amen. It can't handle God. Right?
That's right.
So if you call on him, he'll answer you. He'll be with you in trouble. He'll deliver you. He'll honor you. God's going to honor me? Oh, my gosh. Why? Because you're clinging to him. You're clinging to him.
Yes.
He likes that.
Yes.
He likes that. God is the ultimate father.
Amen.
Fathers love to be loved. And they love to show the love they have for the ones that love them.
Amen.
You know why? Because the ones that don't love them won't let him. They won't let him. We got to get them to love him. We got to get them to see that love so they'll receive that love so they'll love him. Because why? He wants to love them. There's not one person ever born in this earth that he doesn't want to love. Thank you, Lord. And those same people, they could be in a whole different spot. Right? Doesn't matter what the name of the hurricane is. Right? Doesn't matter what the name of the storm is. Doesn't matter what the name of the sickness is. Doesn't matter what the name of the disease is. It doesn't matter what the money problem is. It doesn't matter how far your family's gotten off track. It doesn't matter how far apart you and your wife have become. He will answer you. He'll be right in the middle of that problem. What? If you cling to him. If you've let go of him even a little bit, cling back.
Yeah.
Grab hold.
Yeah.
Grab hold. He'll reach his hand out. You don't even have to cling to his leg. He'll hold your hand just like that. He said, I'll hold him by the right hand, and I'll take you everywhere you need to go.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Whew. Thank you, Lord. He'll call on me. I'll answer him. I'll deliver him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Notice how many times he says, I. Ain't nobody ever delivered theirself. Right? You can put a Band-Aid on a cut. God can heal it. Right? You can either wear Band-Aids the rest of your life on your spiritual cuts, or you can let God heal the brokenhearted, binding up their wounds. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. I'll honor him with what kind of life?
Long.
Long. Long and satisfying. Long, not long and enduring.
Right?
Okay, God, I'll live another year. I don't know why you'd want me to live. My tail's lost again. I'll honor him. Why? He's clinging to me. He's clinging to me with long life. I'll satisfy him. Why? He's clinging to me. Why? He trusts me. He trusts me. And I'll show him my salvation. What's he going to show you? He says, I'm going to show you just how big it is. Well, I'm going to show you just exactly what you have. Right? You know, sometimes we think, I get to go to heaven. I get healed. Get delivered. Do you know that even what we know about salvation is so minute? It's so little bitty that you can open that verse up again tomorrow and it's going to be bigger than it was the day before, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you'll start knowing more about you will be so thankful every day, because there will never be something that comes up that hits you and says, that's beyond salvation. There's nothing beyond salvation. It is everything. Encompassed in everything that God gave us, he said, salvation. He said, what do you need? It's in there. Yes. You can't mention something that's not covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You can't mention something that's not forgiven. You can't mention something that's not healed. You can't mention a provision that's not made. There's nothing. And there will be nothing. The only thing, the devil's just trying to keep you back from it. He can't take it away. God's never pulling it back. So tell the devil, get out of the way. Say, I want my stuff. Everybody say, I want my stuff.
I want my stuff.
The benefits of salvation
are mine.
I'll have them all.
Now.
Glory to God. We don't have to wait. And we're not like the girl on Willy Wonka. We do care how. We want them from God. She don't care how, she wants them now. We do care. You guys didn't watch Willy Wonka? Come on.
No, sir.
I'm not as sanctified as you guys. Of course, that was when I was really young. It's an old movie. You don't know when I watched it yesterday? No. Thank you, Lord. Long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's look at Colossians 3. And we'll close with this. Thank you, Lord. 3:15. Won't read the whole thing. Because he talks about forgiving, loving, wrapping it all up in love. And then he says, and let the peace of God, let the set at one again in us of God. Because that's what I mean. He says, let that knowing that I brought you back to me and we're one again. He said, let that knowing rule your heart. Well, what's he saying? He said, everything that you go through, I want you to know that you're with me. And I'm with you. And I'm yours. And you're mine. And let that rule every decision you make. Every thought you have. Everything you do. Let that rule. Because it's what? It's what you were called. To one body. To one body. And be ye thankful. What's he saying? Let the peace of God, let that thought that you're one with me, that we can never be separated, no one can pluck you out of my hand. Let that thought rule everything, rule your heart. And when you do that, you will be thankful. Right? Because you won't have a day where you wake up and say, I just don't think this is my day, this is Monday. And I think tomorrow is going to be Monday the 2nd. You know what I'm going to have on Monday? Mercy. You know what else I'm going to have? Compassion. And you know what? They're going to be unfailing. I'm going to wake up. Stand up with me. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to bask in the goodness of God. And I'm going to be thankful. And I'm not just going to thank him because he saved me from the storm. I'm going to thank him because he was with me before the storm. I'm going to thank him because he was with me in the storm. And I'm going to thank him that even after the storm, no matter what happened in the storm, I still have him. And with him, I can never lose. And my faith in him is the victory that overcomes the world. Glory to God. You got a song?
Thank you.